And now we bring you Viewpoint with Pete Steveson discussing the Bible's view of family relationships.
Today we're continuing to look at the search for wisdom. Proverbs 8 presents a powerful picture of biblical wisdom. Wisdom in this chapter is not only personified, but it seems to take on the character of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It was with the Father at the creation of all things. It serves as the basis of justice, success, righteousness, and blessedness. Wisdom underlies human government. And according to the last two verses of the chapter, one who gains this wisdom gains eternal life, while the one who rejects this wisdom hates his own soul and gains eternal death. Clearly, this wisdom is worth seeking, and the Bible invites men to do exactly this. It is particularly important for young people to make the search for wisdom a goal of their life. The philosophy that you're developing now is the philosophy that will guide you throughout life. If yours is a biblical viewpoint on life, you'll be able to have the Lord's blessing on you as you experience the various situations that come. Notice the appeal that wisdom makes to you in this chapter. The opening verse asks a rhetorical question that demands an answer of yes. Doth not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice? Yes, wisdom does bear witness to herself before men. Verses 2 and 3 describe how she proclaims her witness progressively. First, she lifts up her voice on the high places of the city, calling to all those who pass by. Then she appears openly in the way, in the places of the paths, or at crossroads within the city, where she can contact others with her invitation. Finally, she speaks at the city's gates, the place where business and city government were conducted in biblical times. Through these invitations, she makes contact with a wide variety of individuals. She calls the simple, the man who lacks understanding, to open his heart to her call. She also speaks to the fool, giving him an opportunity to stop his opposition to her guidance. And most importantly, she calls to the general public, men and the sons of men, inviting them to follow her. These illustrations show that no man needs to remain opposed to the wisdom of God. Even the fool, the man who has defiantly rebelled against God, is offered the chance of changing his ways. He has, so to speak, the chance to repent and to turn to the Lord with a plea for forgiveness. In the middle of the chapter, wisdom again appeals to mankind. This time, her appeal stresses the value of wisdom to those who receive it. It's of more value than fine silver or choice gold. It's better than elaborate jewelry. Clearly, the comparison is not a material one. Wisdom's value is far above any value that might come from the sale of physical objects such as silver or gold. For example, material objects of value cannot bring the intangible blessings of life that all of us want. Happiness, peace, spiritual blessedness, confidence for the eternal future of the soul cannot be found with material things. These spring from the possession of true wisdom. Again, let me say that the search for wisdom is a search that is worthwhile. God has invited us to seek this kind of wisdom, and in seeking, we find the highest treasures that life can give. Have you begun the search? Are you earnestly looking for the wisdom that God alone can give? It comes through receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior, and then going on to saturate yourself in the philosophy that is found in the Bible, the Word of God. If you've never set out on this search, let me urge you to begin it today. Receive Christ as your Redeemer, and then begin to read His Word. As you're faithful in this quest, God Himself will reward you with true wisdom.
You've just heard Viewpoint with Pete Steveson discussing the Bible's view of family relationships.